How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
The value of understanding and how to get it. I hope to get the conclusion of this because next Sunday, remember Wednesday night, Pastor Ted will be taking service here, but next Sunday, we are going to swing in for next Sunday and the following Sunday onto the subject of Christ and of Christmas. So that will next Sunday, that only leaves two Sundays, right? And it's Christmas time? Can you believe that? Now, on Christmas Sunday, which is really Christmas Eve, is Sunday. Monday is Christmas. Normally we have a Christmas Eve service and a dinner. Instead this year, because it's Sunday, we will have our regular service here and then we'll have a Christmas meal together right after service on Sunday, and then you're free to go. The rest is Christmas Eve and there'll be no night service that night, and then ready for Christmas on Monday. Today at 6 o'clock, a number of you are going Christmas caroling in the neighborhood. And so where do we meet? Right here at 6 o'clock? At 6 o'clock. So remember, that's this evening at 6 o'clock, going Christmas caroling. And so make sure, I'm sure that you all networked and know who's showing up and what's going on. So we'll leave that to you. So next Sunday, hopefully, we're going to get into the Christmas theme. And today we're trying to finish the value of understanding. Heavenly Father, now in the name of Jesus, I ask you for anointing of the Spirit of God that makes preaching easy and that breaks yokes of bondage. I ask the Spirit to come in such a way as to illuminate our minds and let us behold wondrous things out of thy word, and to be granted by you a spirit of understanding, that we will not judge after the seeing of our eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of our ears, but will be made of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. I ask this for each person here today. Now, Lord, help the preacher, we pray, and listeners as well, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, our Lord, and our soon coming King. Hallelujah. In thy name we pray, amen. Amen. You take your teaching notes now. We're on page number, I have no idea, probably page 3. We've been on this sheet for so long. Page 4. Are we on page 4? Really? Okay, let me just give you a couple introductions. Here's the question asked in the book of Job. Look at this now. Where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Want you to catch up? Watch real quick. Man doesn't know the price of getting understanding, has no idea how valuable it is, or he would be pursuing it in haste. And not only this, the man does not know the price of understanding, and neither is it found in the land of the living. Understanding cannot be found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it's not in me, and the sea saith, it's not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Look at this, where is it? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and it's even kept away from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. Here's the good news, but God understands the way thereof. And he knows the place thereof. For he looks to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the wait for the winds. Imagine this was written, this wait for the winds. the idea that air had weight didn't exist until the 16th century by Galileo. And yet here it is in the Bible. And he weighs the waters by measure. Then did he see it, and he declared it, and he prepared it, and he searched it out. And he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And so we learn that the primary evidence that a person has understanding is that they depart from evil. A person who does not depart from evil is lacking major problems. Up here and in here. That's why the scripture says, he that commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. A reproach shall he get, and it shall not be wiped away. So, we need to understand then that there's a difference between men and animals. There is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. Who? Gives men understanding. And we spent time on this. We won't spend any time on this, but look at this. Man that is in honor, that is a man that is in the honorable position of being mankind and not animal. But a man, watch it now, that is in the honorable position and understands not is like the beasts that perish. There is no difference between a beast of a field and a man that does not have understanding. The more lacking a man has in understanding, the more like the beast of the field he is. The beasts of the field have no idea what's going on. They look at the earth, they look at the plants, they have no idea. But man is given, different than animals, to have understanding. And following Wednesday, a week from this Wednesday when I'm back, we're going to cover the categories of understanding Scripture. So our subject has been, we went through the 53 benefits of understanding, and now we're at the subject on how to get it. And last week, we covered this one. We get it from God's statutes and judgments. We get it from asking. We get it from listening to godly older people. We learned last week, we get it from being present in the sanctuary, right here, place of understanding. We learn from doing God's commandments. Look at this. Good have understanding. Have all they that do the commandments. From doing the commandments, we get understanding. We get it from meditation and God's testimonies. Have more understanding than my teachers. Reason, because thy testimonies are my meditation. We learned last week that understanding comes from keeping God's precepts. Understand more than ancients because, look at this, because I keep thy precepts. Last week we learned. That we get it from the Word of God that gets entered into us. It has to enter in. The entrance of thy words gives light and it gives understanding unto the simple, so they won't be simple anymore. And we learn that it comes from reading the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the son of David. Why were these written? From Solomon, by God, through Solomon, so that you would know wisdom and understanding and so that you would perceive the words of understanding. And last week we learned that we get it from applying our hearts. My son, receive the words, hide thy commandments with me, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom. Now look at this, and apply thine heart to understanding. Comes from applying your heart. And then we learned last week that it comes from seeking, searching, and crying out. See, a cry out for knowledge. If you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and searches for her as hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The only one who can give you understanding is the Lord. And then we ended last Sunday with number 12. It comes from trusting the Lord. Don't lean unto your own understanding, but in all the ways, acknowledge him, the director path. So now, that was my review. That's the fastest review I've ever done, I think, ever. Okay, are you ready to get started now? Tell me you're ready. How many are awake? Go ahead. I want you to note a couple of things before we get started. The scripture started by saying that understanding is not found in the land of the living. Understanding. Man doesn't know the price thereof, the value. And it comes from, we learn from God. I want to tell you why. Last week I put in front of you a picture of the whole earth, remember? And here are all these 6.7 billion people on the planet. And if you expect to get all of your understanding from one of them, they don't know any more than you. Getting understanding requires getting it from the source of somebody who designed the big picture and put us here. He's the only one that understands, except where there are some exceptions where God has given understanding to people, and then you might get it secondhand from those people because they got it from God. That's okay. And some of that's woven right into this. But understand, if you want to understand marriage, you need to go to God. That was his idea. That's not a humanistic concept. If you need to understand birth and babies and who is this child, what is this child, you need to check with God. He's the father of the child. He's the father of spirits, our father, which art in heaven. If you want to understand science, if you want to understand, it doesn't matter what the subject, if you want to understand the purpose of life on this planet, you need to get it from God. He knows the place of understanding. And so we ended in number 12 last week. If you will trust in the Lord and not lean on your own understanding, coming up with your own version, coming up with your own concept, your own philosophy, your own theology, your own doctrine, your own version of life. But trust him. Don't lean on your own understanding, but trust his understanding. And in all the ways of your life, acknowledge his understanding of things. And then you'll have a path that's directed by the Lord. Okay, ready to go? Here we are, new material starting now. Number 13. You can get understanding from a godly father. From a godly father. In fact, look at the scripture. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Now every child should be getting understanding from his father. Now, if your father's not a Christian, he won't understand very much. And I hate to say this. If he's not, let me back this up. If your father is not a genuine Christian, you're not going to get much understanding. You know, we got a lot of fake Christians. Didn't you know that? We have a lot of fake Christianity. We have a lot of fake Christian fathers. You won't get much understanding for them because they're fake. You'll get some, even from a fake Christian. Did you know that? Because the older you get, there are some things you start to piece together that are accurate. That's why every child should listen to their father. But how blessed you are if you have a godly father. What is a godly father? It's a father that goes by the book. That's simple. No other criteria. Is he going by the book? Does he have the Spirit of Christ? And does he go by the book? That's it. So you can get understanding from your father. And listen to me, everybody who's still at home under your father's roof, no matter what your age is. If he doesn't volunteer it, you start a general inquisition. I can still remember my father, a number of sessions where my father was trying to get me understanding. For example, I didn't believe that we lived on the outside of the earth. I thought we would fall off. And I remember the night my dad got baseball out and explain to me, help me understand gravity, and that we weren't living on the interior like I thought. Now, I know that's really basic, and I was only like 7 at that time. Whatever there is that you want answers for, start going to your father, and if he doesn't have them, keep asking him anyhow. Maybe he'll get them. And you'll both grow. Got it? You can get understanding from a godly father. Number 14. You get it by forsaking foolishness. There are a lot of fools. And by the way, some of the biggest fools in history have been very well educated. People want to know how much education you got. I say that's the wrong question to be asking. It isn't how much education, is what is the education? What is the value of your education? Just more degrees behind your name so you look like a Fahrenheit thermometer doesn't mean anything. Some of the greatest fools in history have been well educated. Don't mistake education with understanding. Now, there's a lot of fools today, everywhere. Let's start. The fool has said in his heart, now, would you like to know how many professors in the universities and colleges across America say there is no God? And I tell you, they are way in the majority. We got fools in New York who have decided to pass laws permitting people to change their birth certificate. If you're born male, you can change it to female. No, this is idiocy. They are, because there's something else makes a fool besides saying there's no God. In the book of Romans chapter 1, when they knew God, they worshipped him not as God, and they weren't thankful. Their foolish heart was darkened, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Read a few verses later, and you will understand the birth of the homosexual movement. It's a rejection of God and the failure to worship God as God. And their foolish heart was, they become fools. They change the glory of God. And that's why in America, and I'm almost ashamed to tell you this, that in America today, there are manger scenes with the captions over them, Mary and Gary. The depth of perversion can only be attributed to fools. Remember, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Now, what I want you to get this thing, because I haven't got a lot of time to go into the details on fools, but I want you to see that a person cannot have understanding without forsaking the foolish. Now, we need to forsake the foolish. Now, let me just help you with that. The foolish are people. Did you follow that? You need to forsake the following of foolish people, or you never get understanding. You need to forsake the following of foolish things. or you won't get understanding. You can play solitaire for the next 50 years, the rest of your life. Stay full. You can be addicted to a game, a sport, you name it. A little bit of sports and a little bit of entertainment goes a long way. It is amazing to me that you can get 100,000 people to pay up to hundreds of dollars for a ticket to watch 11, 22 men out there moving a piece of leather. I find it quite entertaining. I watch a little bit of it myself, but see, anything, whether it's that or, I mean, there's so many stupidities today that ultimately, in the scheme of things, have not worth. And they can consume you. And so, you know, take a little entertainment, little vacations are fine. And a little distraction once in a while is okay. One of the problems we have in America is everything comes too easy now. Food, clothing, shelter, and all that's so easy that we've got so much time left over and so much money left over that we take the leftover and we apply it to foolish projects. When eternity is waiting. Okay. Eternity is waiting. Forsake the foolish. There can be no grasping of the purposes and the magnificent designs for life by God to those who have decided to pursue something that's foolish or someone that's foolish. For God's sake, don't go to a college where the teachers are fools. I used to be impressed with academia. Not much anymore. I've forsaken my, I can't even hold much of it up in esteem. Because it's so full of foolishness and so empty of real understanding. So, you get understanding by forsaking foolish. Then you get it by the knowledge of the holy. Oh, this is delightful. Look at this. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Understanding comes from the knowledge of the holy. Now, I've got a couple things off my chest here. Number one, I want you to understand this refers to God, the Holy One. He's called the Holy One. He's the mighty King of Israel, right? He's the Holy One of Israel. The more you can know about God, the more understanding you have. All right. Got to repeat an old illustration. Sorry. Remember one. Guy goes in to apply for a job and says on his thing, I've got 7 years experience. So they give him testing, bring him back in for a second evaluation, and they said, you said you had 7 years experience at this job, and our tests show that you have 1 year's experience seven times. All right, got the illustration? Now let me tell you something. Christianity has become, in a large measure, the people who get 1 year's experience over and over and over and over again. How did you grow this week? How far forward in your walk with the Lord and your understanding of God did you grow this week, this month? Well, let me give you a year. What are the evidence that we're not just repeating the same thing over and over again. What dimensions of your walk with God, your intimate moments with God? I mean, how intimate is your contact with God? How frequent is it? How long does it last? How motivating is it? How exciting is it to you? Or are we just got this get out of hell, get into heaven scheme going so well that we think that we have arrived? That's why, hopefully, I'm not sure how to fit it in, but in the new year, we're going to study the book of Ephesians together. Because the book of Ephesians is about the unsearchable riches of His grace. Unsearchable. Not because they're difficult to find, but there is so much of it you can't plummet the depths. Oh, let me tell you, dear friend. None of us have mastered God yet. The more you can know of the Holy One, the more understanding you have. Because He's the source of it. Don't you get it?
Yeah.
Now, I want to apply this scripture another way. There are holy things. There are holy behaviors. There are holy motives. There are holy feelings. There are holy thoughts, right? And the more you know of holy thoughts, the more understanding you get. You know, let me quote Wordsworth for a moment, who said, "The world is too much with us." He went on to say, "The world is too much with us, getting and spending, we'd lay waste our powers." I just want you to catch the first phrase. The world is trying to stuff at us. It's unholy ideas. It's unholy thoughts. It's unholy motives. We are surrounded in a sea of unholiness. And that's why, next to understanding Romans chapter 10, and where you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life to get saved, right? The second most important truth after you become a Christian is Romans chapter 12. Beseech you, therefore, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto Him, holy and acceptable. Present your bodies a holy, acceptable to Him, which you're reading. And listen to this. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the second truth every new Christian needs to act on, is to get the mind thinking right again, because it has been filled with such unholy temptation, unholy ideas, unholy imaginations, dirt, filth, dung. I remember my father operated Teen Challenge in the city of Toronto. I'll drive by that door this week. And I worked for him for a couple of years before going to college. And it wasn't unlike, I really love about the in ministry, its emphasis on Jesus and the Word of God. Because you see, this isn't about saving babies, this is about saving eternal souls.
Yeah.
And I talked to a social worker one day. She said, "Well, what do you do with an alcoholic at Teen Challenge?" I said, "Well, we give them." "What do you do with a drug addict?" I said, "Well, we give them Psalm 31. We call it the Psalm of the Drug Addict." And we have memorized it and then meditate. And then what do you do with them? I said, well, give them Psalm 25. She said, well, what do you do with them then? I said, we'll give them Psalm 27. She said, all you do is brainwash them then, don't you? I said, yep. What's wrong with getting your brains washed? See, because we suffer such unholy infusions from so many different sources. Where do you go today to get holy thoughts? That's why, beloved, that's one of the reasons why each of you is so very, very valuable and important. Because you become a fountain of holy ideas to others. So whatever comes out of your mouth, make sure it's holy. Make sure it's holy. Make sure it's holy. So the more we know of holy things, the more understanding. Remember, to depart from evil, that is understanding. So the more you give your time to the departed from evil thing, the more understanding you have. Now, you also get understanding by responding to reproof. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul. Kind of a foolish thing to do, isn't it? But he that heareth reproof, look at this, gets understanding. Now, in 3 minutes, let me take you back to an old diagram. A long time ago, we taught this. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. That's what the scripture says. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And so, watch this now, because this is the way up. This is the path of life you should be walking on. And so what God does to help us stay on this path, watch this now, is he allows reproofs or pressures from each side to pressure us. These are called reproofs. Corrections. Call them course corrections if you want to. That's what they are. And these pressures, and that's why I've put some of these in, they're all in arrow shape here. These pressures are designed by God to keep us on track. All right? Now, I've named some of them. Take a look here. Anybody doubt the function of the scriptures here as a reproof? All scripture is given for inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof. Scriptures reprove us. Let's go over here. The Holy Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will, next word, reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's a reproof. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And the parents are designed to provide this pressure, this reproof. Look at this. This one probably shock you. But you know what the Bible says? Thy backsliding shall reprove thee. What does that mean? I have a pressure in my life that's left over from backslidings. Where a backslider did something I shouldn't have done, there are repercussions to that, I don't want to go there anymore. It is a reproof. My past failure is a reproof to me. You follow that? So all of these reproofs are designed by God to be pressures on our lives. Why? To keep us walking in this direction and not watch. Because watch. If a person rejects reproofs, the path of life could go, well, let me just do it. The path of life will probably go, I wanted to make it down because that's what's going to happen. Go this way. Can you take the pressure away? So reproofs are wonderful evidences of the love of God for us, and they are placed on us. And now watch this. Because let's go back to the scripture now. He that hears the reproof will get understanding. So in fact, that if we are hearkening to these reproofs, whether it's the Spirit or the Scriptures or our backslidings or parents or circumstances or etc. But watch this. He that refuses instruction, go back to the diagram. If you refuse the instruction of Scripture, you go off track. And the Bible says that the person who refuses the instruction destroys his own soul. But he that hears the reproof gets understanding. Let's look at another verse. Smite the scorner, and the simple will beware. Now watch this. Reprove somebody that has understanding, and he will understand more information now than he had before, more knowledge. Okay? So it comes from responding to reproof. Now, you can get understanding by spending money the proper way, or time. Both are an expenditure. Buy. Here's the act, isn't it? Buy the truth. Watch this now. First thing you want to buy, spend money on, is the truth. And don't sell it. Don't get rid of it. Buy it, sell it not. Also, buy wisdom. Thirdly, whoops, let me see. I was going to number these. One. Second one you buy is you buy wisdom. The third thing you buy is you buy instruction. And number four, you can buy understanding. You buy it. You put forth assets to procure it. It could be fines. It could be money, gold, silver, dollar bills, greenbacks, whatever you call them. Or you might have to buy it with time as well. So, you can get understanding by spending money in the right places for the right thing. You know, in a little wisdom shop back there, by the way, the video, we didn't see one of those videos today, but this is the last day to order videos before Christmas. Put the order in tomorrow. Want those videos for your family? Need to let Kayla or Abigail know about that today. We don't keep any junk back there. To my knowledge, we don't have anything that isn't worth more than its weight in silver. Some of it gold. I have several books in my library that I would gladly pay $1,000 for. In fact, I have one that was out of print and couldn't find it, and my wife went on the internet. She found it, and she gave it to me for Christmas about 5 years ago. And, I know you never thought of her as an internet-type person. But she does two things on a computer. She knows how to search the internet, and she knows how to do emails. That's it, right? What else is there? So I'm married to Miss Techie, so it comes naturally. What was I talking about? Huh? Oh, yeah. So 4 years ago, yeah, that's right. 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I don't know how many years ago it was, I knew I wanted this book. And she found a paperback, ragged paperback version for $70. It was cheap. Because you can't get that book anymore. The stuff that's in it. You want to know the name of the book? Is that what you want? Marston and Forster are the authors. The name of the book is... I forget the name of the book, but I know what's inside the book. Because it was an area of my understanding in Christian theology that it was just... nobody I've talked to, no professors I listened to in college. I have had in my library systematic theologies by just about everybody who's ever put together a systematic theology, from Hodge who's the guy that does it? Who's the guy that does the concordance? Strong systematic theology. And Edwards. I used to have them all because of Cruden, of course. I used to do it because I was searching stuff. And nobody had the answer. God's Strategy in Human History is the name of the book. God's Strategy in Human History is the name of the book. I would still pay $1,000 for that book. I might even pay more than that. If I was, I probably would. Because what I got out of that book set me in a place with the Lord that I wouldn't otherwise have had. Spend money to get understanding in areas where you don't have it. Because you can get understanding by spending it. Of course, it isn't enough. I have lots of books that I have not opened. I thought, hey, there might be something in there, and I brought it home, and I haven't paid the price of time on some of them. But then you get understanding by seeking the Lord. Now, I learned this scripture, I think I was in my last year of college. I went to a denominational college. It was very frustrating for me because I learned everything they wanted to teach me, but they didn't have answers for the stuff that I wanted answers for. And then I thought, well, you know, I haven't got what I want, so I need to go to higher education. And I considered, you know, several universities in pursuit of degrees like my friends did. And I stumbled across this verse of scripture. Evil men understand not judgment. Now watch this, because this is the part I got. They that seek the Lord. Oh, this is so good. I still remember dancing around that day. Understand all things. Want knowledge, go to college. But if you want wisdom, you go to God. You want understanding, you go to God. You won't find it in college. But they that seek the Lord, this is so, dearly beloved, this will help you get over an inferiority complex. This will get you over the feeling like you got left out in the educational world. They that seek the Lord understand all things. There isn't a subject. There isn't an area that you can't grasp if you seek the Lord. This is so delightful. Oh my goodness. I could jump for joy right now. Except the doc get after this leg thing. I'll do it on this one foot or something. This is so exciting to me to come across a scripture like this. It will drive out all the sense of inferiority, lack. Who do you compare yourself with? I hope nobody. Because the devil wants you to compare yourself with other people. Because if he can get you comparing yourself with other people, you will have one of two things. You'll have a superiority complex or an inferiority complex, depending on who you compare yourself to. There are people around you who may be not too with it. And if you compare yourself with them, you'll walk around as a pompous donkey. But you might have somebody who, you know, who's kind of with it, and you compare yourself with them, and you feel like you're not. That's why the Bible says don't ever compare yourself with one another. The scripture says we dare not make ourselves of the number. Those that are comparing themselves, measuring themselves among themselves are not wise. Not wise. Because you're either going to go on a false high of ego, pride, and superiority, or you're going to go the opposite way into depression and inferiority complex. If you want to compare yourself to somebody, compare yourself with Jesus. And then you won't have a superiority complex. Let me tell you something else wonderful about comparing yourself with Jesus. You won't have an inferiority complex either. What you get is, you ready? Humility. Jesus doesn't come to make anybody feel like a nothing and a nobody. But listen to this now. Hey, seek the Lord. Understand all things. Oh, seek ye the Lord. Did you do some of that this week? No. You get understanding by receiving the fullness of God's Spirit. You get understanding by receiving the fullness of God's Spirit. Some people got a little bit of the Spirit, but by golly, maybe they'll get to heaven, I don't know. But look at the promise. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest. That's a 24/7 dose of the Holy Spirit. It rests on you. It remains on you. Oh, hallelujah. The Holy Spirit not only rests on you, but fills every part of your being. Fills you full to overflowing. How do you know when you're full of the Spirit? How do you know when the cup is full of water? Because it overflows. And the greatest thing we should covet after is this. Let me tell you what. This baptism in the Holy Spirit is not complicated. It is the outflow and the overflow of the inflow of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding comes when you have the Spirit who has promised to, among many other things, lead you into all truth. You're going to get understanding. You're going to get the Spirit of wisdom and you get the Spirit of understanding. Now watch this. Not only that, but you'll get the Spirit of counsel. Oh, my God. Do you know how wonderful this is? You got somebody in front of you with a life-threatening issue, an eternity-threatening issue. And it seems like it's beyond your experiences, beyond your ability. And all of a sudden, this blessed Spirit flows out of you with counsel, advice that you couldn't have dreamed up if you tried to. Because he is the counselor. And the Spirit of counsel gets on you. Oh, you give utterance and you give direction. And advisements that amaze you as you give them. Now watch this. You get the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. You get the Spirit of counsel. And you get the Spirit of might. Let me tell you what the Spirit of might is. Faith that what you do counts. Optimism. The opposite to weakness. A sense of strength comes on you. I'm not talking about a pompous, self-ascribed, macho, am I ever tough? Am I ever big? Am I ever smart? Because most of that is just, I'm trying to think of a good sanctified word. Balderdash. So self-puffery, boasting. That's a lot different than having a spirit of might. The evidence of a spirit of might is confidence. Now, and you get the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, watch what all this is going to do for you. Shall make him of quick understanding. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit can get understanding through to you real quick. That's why, I mean, it doesn't take years, doesn't take college, it just takes God. And look what will happen. You will not judge after the seeing of your eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of your ears. Anyhow, I got to keep going. Let me skip some here. Number 20. You get understanding by accumulating it from childhood. Up. So look at the scriptures with me now. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Look at this, and here's the question. Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Here's the answer. Are you ready? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, as long as you're still being nursed and nourished by your mother and her breasts, well, you probably haven't started to get any of this stuff yet. But the moment that you are weaned from the milk, and the moment that you are drawn from the breast, you are then in the place. You are the one whom God wants to make understand. Now watch it. Here's the accumulation factor. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. And this accumulation process, from the time you leave, from the time that your child leaves your breast, it's weaned from the milk, he is to be accumulating understanding. Get understanding from pastors with the heart of God. Pastors who have the heart of God. And here's what the promise of God is. I will give you pastors according to mine heart. And I suggest to you that of all of the requirements for being a pastor, this is a big one. To have a heart like God's heart. To have a heart after God. Because it's possible to be a pastor without the heart of God. I mean, that's the sad implication of this text. But God says, I will give you pastors according to mine heart. Now watch what they do. They shall feed you. This is the pastor's job right here. Feed you with knowledge and understanding. And that's the job. Feed the flock with knowledge of the holy and understanding. And if I am not doing that, you need to go to a church where there's a pastor who is. I have no hesitation. I'm telling you what, the best thing for you is to get under a pastor who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. You go to that church. Don't you go to a church because it has flashing lights and smoke and rock and roll music and everything else that might be trinsel and tinsel and trinket and traps of the world. Go where there's a pastor who has the heart of God. And does he feed you? Do you come away understanding stuff you didn't understand before? From the heart of God, not just, this is not enough to feed people with knowledge and understanding out of a book or out of some humanistic idea, but from the heart of God. And then you get understanding by searching the books of the Bible. Here's Daniel. Daniel, I, Daniel, understood by books. A number of years in this case where the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. That's how Daniel was able to predict the birth of Jesus within 7 days. He understood by the book. And then you get understanding by setting your heart for it. Fear not, Daniel, so said the angel of the Lord, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, your prayers for understanding were heard, and I have come because of thy words. Started when he set his heart. And then faith is another way of getting it by, and look at this now, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. I'm looking at the clock here. I got two big ones to come. You understand this? It's just the problem the evolutionists have and the false scientists have. Their problem is that the things are seen, which are seen, were not made of things which do appear. And so they're going looking to where did it come from. And they're concocting all sorts of weird ideas. But through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. Number 25, by observing creation. This is really a fun one. This is really exciting. The invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Now watch this now. The invisible things of God from the creation of the world, all of its creation, are clearly seen, look at this, being understood by people which were made. Now watch, what can you understand? From creation you can understand the invisible things of God. Isn't this fun? You can understand not only the invisible thing of God, look at this, you can understand His eternal power. And you can understand the Godhead. Otherwise, the heathen would be without excuse. They would have excuse. But there is no excuse that the invisible things of God can be seen from creation. And look at this, what I want you to get here, they are understood by the things which are made. Let's look at the scripture. Ask now the beasts and they shall teach thee. Listen to this. This is a creation of God, and the beasts are designed. All the lions, all the animals are here. They're not decorations. Their purpose on this planet certainly demonstrates the creativity of God. I mean, watch the bee, watch the hummingbird, watch the rabbit, watch the beaver, etc. They are all simply outlets for the glorious personality and creativity of God. But they aren't just there as displays of His creativity. They are, what are the animals here for? The animals are here to teach us. And there are things you will learn from the beaver that you will not learn from the salmon. And there are things you will learn from the salmon that you won't learn from a horse. And there are things from a horse that you won't learn from an owl. And there are things from an owl you won't learn from a snake. And there are things you will learn from a snake that you will not learn from a frog. And there are things from a frog that you won't learn from a whale. And there are things from the whale that you will not learn from a turtle. Ask the beasts. That's why if you haven't got this in your house, Christmas gift time, you want to get the Institute's 3 volumes on character qualities from the pages of Scripture and from nature. The beasts will teach you. The fowls of the air, they shall tell you. So God took some of his understanding and he put a piece of it in a lion so that you could go to the zoo and check out the lion, and that with whatever God put in the lion can get into you. That's pretty good. So you can check out the turtle. So you can check out, now watch this, let's go down here, the fishes of the sea. There is stuff to be learned from the fish. You will understand something of God. The creator is known by the creation. See? But he has scattered his creativity, or through his creativity, he has scattered pieces of his hidden stuff, and he's putting them inside the animals, and he's putting them inside the birds, and he's putting them inside the fish. So you and I can get it. You know, I don't know when I can do this. But I'm mad, it's got to be next year. Can't be this year. Not enough time left this year. But I would really like to do a nature series with you. About the animals and what each one of them teaches us from God. I don't know them all. I know some of them. Now watch here. You can even speak to the earth, and the earth will teach you. You can learn from the dirt. You can learn from plants. Great. That's why. One of the fun things I used to do with young people when I was involved with people younger than yourself. Camps and retreats and stuff like that. Everybody get a coat hanger. This is a fun thing. And there was somebody, you know, stretch your coat hanger in any shape you wanted. So sometimes a square, sometimes a triangle. Throw your coat hanger as far as you can. So these kids will all fling these coat hangers. Now you got to go find your coat hanger. And you got to get down on your belly. And a piece of paper, a pad, and a pen. And for 30 minutes, you stare inside the coat hanger and see what's there. And write it down. Now, I'm not an earth worshiper, and all this Mother Earth stuff is a bunch of hooey. But let me tell you something. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his hand. And day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And there's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through the whole earth, and their words to the end of it. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, whose going forth is as a bridegroom coming out of the chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. Everything. Got messages for us, understanding. That's why you should skip the television and go to the animals and go to the sea and the fish and the birds. And you ought to make the study of God's creation and nature, because out of it you'll get understanding. Who knows not in all these things the hand of the Lord made this stuff? In whose hand the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try? Now, listen, watch this now, because here we're talking about creation. Now we're talking about the ear. I don't care whether it's the ear on a fish or an animal or the ear on a human. How is it that the ear hears words? And how is it that your mouth tastes meat? See, with the ancient is wisdom. And this ancient actually is referring not to people, but the ancient ear. Around a long time since God created it. Ancient beast, the ancient fish, species of the air. The mouth has been tasting ever since God made Adam and Eve in the ground. With all of these ancient things, there is wisdom and the length of days. There's understanding. Get it from creation. And lastly, you get understanding from the Lord Jesus Christ. And after many days, they found him in the temple. 3 days. They found him in the temple, Jesus. And he's 12 years old. They had made the trip to Jerusalem, and they were on their way home, and they thought that Jesus was hanging out with the other kids. And 3 days later, they figured out, hey, he's not here. Not with the... They had to go back to Jerusalem. 3 days' journey back to Jerusalem, Joseph and Mary. And when they got back there, they went to the temple. They found him in the temple. Well, that's a great place to be found, isn't it? And he's sitting in the midst of the doctors. And I like this. Look at this. He was hearing them, and he was asking them questions. And he would respond back to what they said. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. At the age of 12, he could hold a conversation with the doctors. And they astonished at his understanding. And I love this, one of my favorite verses. Verse before it says, Jesus sat down. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand scriptures. Jesus Christ is a key to understanding. We know that the Son of God is come. Watch this now. We know that the Son of God has come. And look at this. And have given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, Father. And we are in him that is true. And even we are in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Is it not shocking to you that this scripture ends, this book ends with this? Little children, keep yourself from idols. Keep yourself from any ideas or images, concepts, or don't idolize anything. Because the Son of God has come and hath given us understanding of him that is true. Jesus Christ coming into a person's life comes in so many of his magnificent motives, but one of them, to give understanding. Hallelujah. Well, those are the 26 ways that God communicates his understanding, gets them through to us so that we can have understanding.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.